Stalin was now supervising the climax of his doctor's plot, burning with fury against Professor Vinogradov for recommending his retirement. Yet it was typical of this stealthy old conspirator that he had waited 11 months to gather the evidence to destroy his own physician. Now it all came bursting out. Ordering the arrest of Vinogradov, he shouted, "Leg irons! Put him in irons!" On the 4th of November, Vinogradov was arrested, touching every Politburo family because, as Sergo Beria wrote, he was our family doctor. Stalin was infuriated by Ryumin's slowness in beating the evidence out of the doctors, calling the MGB a herd of hippopotamuses. He shouted at Ignatieff, "Beat them! What are you? You work like waiters in white gloves. If you want to be Chekists, take off your gloves." Malyenkov repeated Stalin's orders to use death blows. Stalin offered Vinogradov his life if he admitted the origins of your crimes. "You may address your testimony to the leader who promises to save your life. The whole world knows our leader has always kept his promises." Vinogradov knew no such thing. "My situation is tragic," the doctor replied. "I have nothing to say." He tried to name dead people whom his testimony could no longer harm. Now Stalin turned on his former bodyguard, Vlasik, who had been on drinking terms with the doctors and who knew too much, particularly that Stalin had been informed of Zhdanov's mistreatment and done nothing about it. Vlasik's arrest was a cunning move, because his so-called treason helped cover Stalin's own role. Stalin knew that Paskryobyshev, his other devoted old retainer, was best friends with Vlasik. Had he played some role in suppressing the evidence against the killer doctors? Stalin also learned that Paskryobyshev had shared Vlasik's orgies. Paskryobyshev was sacked. Stalin had removed his two most loyal servants. Stalin unveiled the horror of what he called the killers in white coats to the Presidium. "You're like blind kittens. What will happen without me is that the country will die because you can't recognize your enemies." Stalin explained to the blind kittens that every Jew's a nationalist and an agent of American intelligence, who believes the USA saved their people. A great terror was again imminent. The magnates understood this ominous reference because an anti-Semitic trial was already underway in Prague, where the Czech General Secretary, Rudolf Slansky, a Jew, was accused of anti-state conspiracy. 3 days later, he and 10 other mainly Jewish communists were hanged. The Czech executions brought the noose closer to Molotov and Mikoyan, but they kept turning up for dinner as if nothing had happened, encouraged by Khrushchev, Beria, Malyenkov, and Bulganin. The four appreciated that the other two were trying to stay close to save themselves, to stay alive. During whispered consultations in the Kuntsevo lavatories, the four laughed off Stalin's suspicions and mocked the doctor's plot. "We should protect Molotov," Beria told the other three. "He's still needed by the party." December the 21st was officially Stalin's 73rd birthday. Molotov and Mikoyan had not missed his birthday for 30 years. They phoned the four, who told them they had to come. At Kuntsevo, Stalin was angry and indignant with the four. "You think I don't realize you let Molotov and Mikoyan know? Stop this, I won't tolerate it." He ordered Khrushchev and Beria to tell the outcasts, "It won't work. He's not your comrade anymore and doesn't want you to visit him." This really alarmed Mikoyan. It was becoming clear Stalin wanted to finish with us, and that meant not only political but physical destruction. The four last men standing decided, according to Beria's son, not to let Stalin set them against each other. Stalin sometimes asked the four, "Are you forming a bloc against me?" In a sense, they were. But none of them, not even Beria, had the will. Mikoyan discussed, probably with Molotov, the murder of Stalin, but, as he later told Enver Hoxha, "We gave up the idea because we were afraid the people and the party would not understand." On the 13th of January, 1953. After years of patient plotting, Stalin unleashed a wave of hysterical anti-Semitism by announcing the arrest of the doctors in Pravda. "Ignoble spies and killers under the mask of Professor Doctors," a phrase that he had coined personally. Throughout January and February, the arrests intensified. The article revealed the lack of vigilance in the security services, a signal that Beria himself was a target. Not only were Beria's allies arrested in Georgia, his protégés in Moscow were sacked. "He expected the death blow at any minute," wrote his son. Beria expressed his disrespect for Stalin more and more boldly, noted Khrushchev, even boasting to Kaganovich that "Stalin doesn't realize if he tried to arrest me, the Chekists would organize an insurrection." Apart from their fears for their own lives, the magnates were worried about nuclear war with America. Stalin, who was still stoking the Korean War, inconsistently swung between fear of war and the ideological conviction that it was inevitable. Beria, Khrushchev, and Mikoyan feared the effect on America of Stalin's alarming unpredictability. Stalin ringed Moscow with anti-aircraft missiles.